Sports Central. Basketball.
And let's talk a little basketball now with Roy Ward from The H, the Fairfax Media Basketball writer. G'day, Roy.
G'day, Kevin. How are you, mate?
Going well, thank you. How was your Christmas?
Far too quick, like everyone else's. But great Boxing Day anyway to see Melbourne United have a big win.
Hey, that was a massive win, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was super impressive. Came out of nowhere too. I think a lot of us were expecting a real sort of grinded out sort of clash with Brisbane, and before you know it, into the fourth quarter, they're up at double figures and end up winning by 30-odd. So, huge win. Could be really important to their season too, with head-to-head results and the possibility of probably finishing pretty close to Brisbane. If they're tied, Melbourne has the tie-break, so big call.
And the inclusion of is it Josh Boone who came in? Is it Josh's first name? Yeah,
Josh Boone, great signing.
Yeah, so that they obviously have had the Dave Anderson question mark, and whether he does get back at the end of January, which he's hoping to do, but that's been a big bonus for him.
Yeah, it has. I think they probably couldn't have done a better job finding a short-term replacement than Josh, because he's a savvy sort of guy, he's smart, he's sensible, and he's 6'10". And that's where you can find all those together in the one package. And he just goes in and does his work. He hits he gets on the rebound, sets his screens, and has played all over the world. So there's not much that surprises him, and he's just a good pickup. Really interesting question for Melbourne is, with Devin Williams, their young import out injured, and when he comes back, do they keep him or do they keep Josh on? Because, people would generally say the more experienced guy is generally better in the finals, but it'd be heartbreaking to let go of someone like Williams just to bring him in.
And he's in unusual circumstances, Devin Williams, because it appears to me from the outside that he hasn't been brought in to be a starter. He's been brought in to be a backup player.
Absolutely, and that was always the plan. That's why they went for the younger import. And he is a big body too. He gives them a lot of strength.
Is he ever?
A lot of power down low, and that's the big reason why they brought him in. So it'd be really really interesting few weeks ahead to see if Josh's fit is as good as we looked on Boxing Day, and whether what they do going forward, because a championship could hinge on how their bench is set out.
Now, before we get into the article you wrote today for The Age and for Fairfax on the 2016 year, what about tonight? The United head to Cairns to take on the Taipans. I know every game's big, but this one, obviously, if they could pull this, if they could get the points out of this one and then come home to play Adelaide on the weekend, sets them up beautifully.
It really does, and it just shows the importance of consecutive wins in the league this season. I mean, Melbourne could go from bottom before Boxing Day to being amongst the sort of the bigger sides if they can win both these games. But it's a big ask. Cairns at home, very good. They've played the least games in the league. Got a few home games to make up, and this one is crucial to their season and probably to Melbourne's. It's going to be really interesting to see how Josh Boone and how Majuk handle the bigs from Cairns. Big Nate Jawai, one of the most imposing guys you can meet in world basketball.
He's not only tall, he's really wide.
Well, he's wide and he's strong, and he's done a really good job on his fitness this year. He's got a lot of the sharpness back that we saw in his younger years.
Yep.
And, of course, the good thing about Boone is he said yesterday, well, I've guarded Shaq before, so it's a Nate Jawai will be about that area. So, yep. Look, it should be really good. Watch out for Cairns' guards. Travis Trice, their import, had a big game against Melbourne last time they played in Cairns. He's a really good shooter. And Cam Glidden's had a bit of ordinary form lately. I reckon he's due for a big game too. So Melbourne's guards are going to have a lot of big defensive stands ahead of them.
Now let's have a look at this story you did today for the Age 2016 in review, the basketball year. Your stories of the year, Ben Simmons gets your number one vote.
Well, Ben Simmons and our Australian under-17 girls, I couldn't split them because it's so rare for us to win a world title at any level, and to win it undefeated and knock off the USA and win a grand final by 25-plus points, that just rarely, rarely happens. So our under-17 women did that during the year. They've got a really, really great crop of young players there, including Ezzy McBegor from Victoria. So they won their world title, and then we had Ben. He was a talk of the world, really, when he was number one pick and with his potential to be a sort of a big star in the future. So couldn't split them, thought they were both great. Matthew Dellavedova's season and his Kunda contract was also big, and Michelle Timms making the FIBA Hall of Fame. They were big stories too, but I think the Simmons and the under-17 girls topped it off.
Just on Ben Simmons, where do you reckon Ben Simmons sits now after his sort of first year in the NBA? And also Dante Exum, where are they sitting? Both, you know, almost household names in basketball terms. Where do you see him at the second?
Look, Ben, we're still waiting for him to get on court after his foot injury, and there's still so much uncertainty of whether Philadelphia actually play him this season or if they hold him off and bring him in next year. He's back on court doing some drills. That's a good sign. Hopefully we see him out there, because we all just want to see him on court and doing what he does best. Dante's been brilliant. I think his numbers aren't great. There are people who want to point out the deficiencies in his game, but he's a 20, 21-year-old kid playing in his second year in the NBA, and he's really done a good job for a Utah team that's had a lot of injuries. He's been called up quite a few times to start this year when they've had injuries. He's done a more than serviceable job. And every time you watch him, he just seems a little more comfy. I'm talking to his coach, Quinn Snyder, a few weeks ago. Quinn was saying with each game, you sort of see the game slowing down for Dante, and that's a big deal, because when those younger guys can see the game more calmly, they'll make better plays and have better performance because of it.
Okay, now the rise of the NBL and the struggles of the WNBL are your issues of the year. We know about the rise of the NBL. It's been really good profile, really good games, really even competition. What's up with the WNBL?
Well, I think if you look at the NBL to start with, the best thing about it is they've got money to put behind the product again. That's what, you know, that tops off so much. That gets the attention. That gets people interested. So WNBL, just the complete opposite. They've just got so little financial clout. So, you know, the clubs have to struggle for so much of what they do get, that it's just been a real uphill slog. And then without having that national TV game on ABC, we're just not seeing them in front of people's eyeballs on a Saturday or a Sunday afternoon like we used to back when ABC was servicing the whole nation and the parts of the country that need support. So it's been really tough for the WNBL. But I think through Sally Phillips, their new head, through sort of the ingenuity of clubs like Townsville and Melbourne Boomers and Perth Lynx, we're starting to see them fight back and push themselves back up, because the competition's great. Anyone who goes to a game will tell you it's a great entertainment. We've got world-class athletes playing, but because they don't have that big clout of the AFL or the Big Bash Cricket or whoever else, they're not getting the attention and all the sponsors. So we really need to do something to help our women's league that's produced so many medalists and so many international stars.
Do they lack a poster girl, if for want of a better term?
I think that would help, it would be great to have some poster girls. But right now, I mean, so often you'll read an article in women's sport and people will talk about the rise of this and the rise of that, and the league that's been there for 30-odd years giving women's basketball a national competition doesn't even get a mention. And, I mean, you just need to get people's attention again in whichever way you can. But I think Sarah Blitzars is a wonderful ambassador for the league. Kelsey Griffin, Nao Rancocacunwe, there's a number of players who are world-class in that league this year.
So playing bad cop there, Roy. Probably two of those three most people will not have ever heard of.
Yeah, and if they were getting a bit of fair coverage, I think we could say that they would hear of them. But you need to put money in. You need to find the money and the support to boost it up. And that's the name of the game and always the biggest struggle. When the NBL was having its bad times, we were saying the same things. Need money, need marketing, need support. You've got to be able to find it.
Maybe the WNBL need Larry Kesselman.
It's been talked about many times, and I may be wrong. I think there was a bit of a look into it by the NBL, but the thought was they'd wait a bit longer, work on their own number one product and get that up to the way they want it to be, and then look towards the women's game. But the fit would be pretty good. I mean, outside of Bendigo and Townsville, the rest of the league, the clubs all sort of fit within fairly close range of the NBL clubs. So you could do some double headers and some interesting things like the W League and the A League do. But I think we're a ways from sort of the Larry Kesselman and the NBL really taking a hand in the women's
club. Yeah, though the profile of the WNBL probably is also reflected by your sad moment in your story today, which is Lauren Jackson and Penny Taylor retiring, the probably two poster girls of WNBL.
Well, not only of WNBL, I dare say of women's sport in general, you could rarely find bigger names than those two. And we were just so blessed to have them in the same generation. I mean, you have great athletes come along, but so often they're one out. We had two, and they came at the same time, they left at the same time, and they created a legacy that's going to be very, very hard to replicate in the future. But sadly, as we've seen with so many of our soccer players and our basketballers and other sports, they did their best work overseas. Their big years, they were in Europe, they were in China, WNBA, making massive careers and huge achievements, and we never really saw a lot of it. So I'm grateful for the times we did get to see those two play, because they were just immense world talents.
Yeah, no, couldn't agree more. Just leaving 2016 for a while, what are you excited about with 2017, Roy?
Well, look, I think above all, the way the Australians' impact on the NBA is continuing to grow, I think that is, to me, the real sort of thing to look for next year. Could we get 10 guys? It's not out of the realms to have 10 Australians playing there next year, which would be pretty staggering considering just a few years ago we had Andrew Bogut and Patty Mills and Daylight. So
yep.
We've got a couple of young kids in college who are doing pretty well. They might be a year or two away from the NBA. But guys like boomers like Ryan Brokoff, Brock Modem, Cam Bairstow, Chris Golding, these guys have been around the NBA fringes. They could well play in the league next year and really give our game an extra boost, both around the world, but also here at home. I think those young footballers and cricketers who are good basketballers but think, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make a career out of it, guys like Matthew Dellavedova, Paddy Mills are showing them that's definitely something they can do.
Yeah, there's so many of our current AFL players who've all been, really precocious talents in the basketball sense, who gave it away to play footy. Might have to make some hard decisions, some of these young men in the future.
And I think families and coaches are generally on both codes are doing a better job of letting the kids make a better decision. I think talking to Christian Petrarca from Melbourne Demons early in the year, he and Ben Simmons actually played in the same junior footy side and the same Victorian junior sides coming up. And you know, Christian chose football and he's very good at it, but he was an exceptional basketballer too. Probably not too far off of Matthew Dellavedova in terms of real bullish, strong point guard. So he could have, would have loved to have seen what he could do at the basketball level, but then he said, well, Ben Simmons was a very good footballer too. So, you know, there's a lot of opportunities out there for guys. As long as the kids are left to make the best decision for them to follow their hearts, I think that's what matters most.
Yeah, I agree with you, Roy. That's a very, very well put. Thanks for your time today. Appreciate it. Good good article, 2016 review in The Age today. Check that one out. And we look forward to talking to you again soon, hopefully before the new year. But if not, Happy New Year.
And to you, Kevin, and all your listeners. Thanks, mate.
Roy Wood there from The Age, the Fairfax Media basketball writer.